Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to have each and every one of you here. I hope you've had a great Christmas together. I know I did. Kathy and I had our son and daughter-in-law and our little new grandson and our, you know, Carolyn and Olin and the grandkids. But they all were over yesterday, and it was great being together and enjoying each other. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. Father, we've come together to be in your house today to meet with you. And I pray, Father, that you will meet with us. And I pray that as we look at your message, I pray that you, the Holy Spirit, would carry it and present it and preach it. And you know its content. And I pray, Father, please, that you will allow it to be a message, Father, that not just stirs our hearts, but causes our hearts to have a sense of joy because of opportunity. And I just pray that you're blessed that. Speak through me and glorify your son and magnify your name, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of today's message is Reserve the Four Corners. Reserve the Four Corners. As we go out into this new year, we need to hold on to that thought, and we're explaining that thought as we go along in the message. It's amazing how fast each year goes. I'm told, and I've told my kids this, but I have to remind myself of this, and yet it's hard for me to understand that every year gets faster. How fast will it go when I'm 90 years old, you know, each year? But it goes faster, and the year's gone. We have the year ahead of us, and I praise God for that year ahead of us because we don't know what God has in store for us. He does. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what his purposes are, and he has a plan that's already preset for us to follow him and to pursue him and to discover that plan that he has for us this next year. I have a desire in my heart for us as a church that in this new year that we'll see baptismal waters stirred a lot more, that we will see people coming to church more, that we'll see new faces in church more, that we will see new membership in church more, that we will see new passion stirred in hearts of people. People come in more passionate, our hearts stirred more passionately for the Lord and his work. We see more people with hands on deck doing the work that God has for each one of us to do. And I look forward to the unexpected provisions that God has in store for us in the days ahead. I don't know what God has, neither do you. But I know that God has that plan, and I'm excited to find out what that plan is. And I know that as we're focused on God and seeking him out, that God will do his work. I know in my mind's eye, I've been, like I mentioned before, I've been praying about the mission trip to Puerto Rico, and in some ways I'm thinking, well, has that flatlined at all? And I think we've just been so busy and redirected in our focus that we have not been focusing on building on that. And yet I go a little step further and I go, well, is that a reality that's a possibility? Well, it's not out of reach. It's relatively easy to reach. It's a matter of doing what God wants us to do. And if God wants us to be involved in that mission trip, then he'll open that door and he'll continue to stir our hearts and he'll do what he wants to do to accomplish that. I know that in my mind, as your pastor, I'm thinking, okay, mission trip to Puerto Rico, and I'm thinking the probability of me going is not probably going to be there. But the probability of having a group go to Puerto Rico for a week and to do ministry there is a good possibility. And so I don't know if God's going to honor that. But I know that my job and your job, if you're interested, is to simply pray and ask God. God, is this what you want? If it is, continue to confirm this. And I know that the pastor in Camarero, is that how you say it? Camarero? Okay, Camarero, yeah, well, what he said. That he's very open to us coming to Puerto Rico. I know that they've mapped out a place that's about 40 minutes from the church where it's a Christian camp where we can go and have three meals a day and be able to have plenty of room to stay. And it won't cost but $40 a day a person as opposed to $250 a night at a hotel. So there are things that God is providing. The doors are available for us to go through, but I don't know if that's what God's going to do. But I think that it's something that we need to at least consider. I know I've mentioned before that that ministering to the poor and to the homeless is a desire. We've seen God bless us when we reach out to the poor before. And we've seen God use simple little ways to do that. I was really blessed when we had, 40 bags of stuff piled in a pile over here, and individual bags for us to hand out to people that needed food or personal essentials and things like that. But it was exciting to see people come in our church and go, oh, I'm going to go get another bag or get a few more bags and throw them in my trunk. I'm going to see someone homeless. And so I was excited about that, but I wonder about this year, because I've asked you as a church and that, you know, to pray about us having the storage available for us to be able to set up a ministry for ministering to the homeless and to the poor, a storage place that we can obviously stack things and put things. And in my mind, I'm thinking not only of the clothes and the personal hygiene and all these things, but also for the poor, maybe some furniture, some beds, some washing machine or dryers or whatever. But to be able to have a place that's storage for that, it's obvious that we don't have the storage in our building to accommodate that, at least not very easily or even at least conveniently. But there's been an opportunity as a possibility that we may be able to get a C train to be able to put in our back parking lot, and that would be either at a very minimal cost or maybe even donated to our church. And so we have an opportunity to have some space. My point is that God has been talking to me about these things, and I've been talking to him. I pray you have too. And that is that the door's not shut. I don't know what the year ahead is, but I know that he does. I know that the trip to Puerto Rico can still be a very viable, real mission trip that our church is involved in. I know that having storage and being able to minister to the homeless and to the poor in our community is something that we can really see. I've already explained to you doors for the trip to Puerto Rico that kind of indicate that it's still open. I've also shared with you with opportunities for storage for other ministry. And so I'm looking at missions, and I'm looking at a mission within our own city, reaching the homeless. We were watching the video up here and thinking about, they went on to the street and did street ministry for the homeless. That's essentially what we did when we went out to the creek. We presented a message, we had some music, we had some food, and we had some care packages. And we provide it. And those are things that we can still be involved in. So I want us to think about today about a couple of things that can be a catalyst for God's glory, okay, in this next year. What things that we could do that help bring these things together a little bit more, but not just these things, but whatever things God has in store. And so the catalyst I want to look at is not what you expect this morning, but I think it's important for us for the beginning of the year to be reminded of this. And I was reminded too, and I'm not just this year, but years past, that Dr. Jeremiah will do this every January and present a reminder to the congregation of that catalyst that opens up doors for us to be more effective for God's kingdom work. And so the catalyst is not what you may expect. The catalyst is simply money. And whenever I've always had a problem with the issue of money when it comes to mentioning it from the pulpit. I can almost feel like don't like the wall drops. We're talking about money. This is an issue I don't want to talk about. Or maybe visitors coming in and going, oh great, here's a church that just wants some money again. But we have to understand that money is essential for us to be active in God's kingdom work. It has to be a part of what it is. And as we're looking at this year ahead of maybe the things that I've mentioned or things that are forthcoming, that it requires that kind of money and to do things. And as I was praying about this message, there's a part of this message aside from outside of money. And what I'm saying is that's exciting to me. The money's not exciting to me, but there's another point to this message that is exciting to me. And hopefully you will be, you'll see that and understand that and be touched by that as well. When we give our Lottie Moon offerings, when we give our Annie Armstrong offerings, we're helping in missions around the world, and we're a part of it. But we need to understand that not just of giving of our money, but our time and our talent, our ability, and all these types of things are essential for us to do God's work. If we're all willing to give that part of our lives, whatever it is, whether it's time or money or talent, we're giving it obviously for the Lord. Now that's a reminder, but you and I know that. It's almost it's too simple, right? It's too basic. Let's get to the meat. Let's get to the real principle here. So I was thinking earlier, I thought if I filled this room, if I covered the floor in the sanctuary completely, let's say about this high, full of paper money. And I said, all of you can take all the money that you can gather for yourselves, but you just have to leave every corner and every edge, the baseboards, you have to leave a foot from the baseboards out of money. You can't take the money that's along the baseboards. You can't take them in the corners. You have to leave all of that there. But everything else in the middle, you can take as much as you want because I want you to be blessed with that. Would that be a pretty cool game? I'd like that. But you know, you find out later on that it's a biblical game. We're going to look at that. You go, wait a minute, you're stretching it now. But in reality, it's not unbiblical. But before I look at that scripture, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians 9, 10, and 11 in the King James Version. It says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Now I want to read that in a longer version in the Message. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done, as one psalmist put it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Now, in the New King James Version, in verse 11, it says, enriched in everything for all liberality, right? Enriched in everything. And then at the end of verse 10, it says, you have sown and increased the fruits of your righteousness. Now, there's a puzzle here that's being put together here. The puzzle is that if we're walking in righteousness, if we're living out our faith, we talked about that in Sunday school, being people of righteousness, being people that are living the right way, the way that God intends for us to live and how we interact with each other and how we do things, where our heart motive is behind things, all of these types of things. That's what the ways of righteousness include, doing things God's way. Why do we do things God's way? We do things God's way because we have been so blessed by the riches of God. Now, let me clarify that just a moment. We do things God's way, one, because we're thankful for what he's done for us. We also need to remember that he has given us riches beyond our imagination. We know the scripture says that we are joint heirs with Christ. In heaven, we're going to be standing there. We're going to be astounded. I can't even imagine the word that could express how we're going to be feeling when we see the reality of the things that we're going to be joint heirs with Christ. We've already been enriched. We've already been given, first of all and foremost, the Lord Jesus Christ. Second of all, the things that God has for us that won't fade away or pass away. All those things are forever that will never, ever, ever end. Whereas here on earth, things that we have will go away. Everything turns back to dust. And so we know it's going to pass away. So the value system, build our lives with things that eventually rot and go away, or build our lives on things that will honor God and that will be rewarded with things that will never go away. And again, we're starting to get down to the heart and the motive of the heart and the intent of the heart and what we're supposed to be doing. But the outcome of this, the riches that we have, the blessings that we have from God, the things that we have in our personal lives, again, the possessions, the those many blessings that we have, when we're using them rightly, the outcome is that it will affect lives. At the end of the message version of this passage, in verse 11, says, "He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God." So he's given us something we can give away. Everything that we have is a product of what God has provided for us. So regardless if the world says you're the one that worked for it, you're the one that accomplished it. Everything we have is a product of God's work in our life. And he's blessed us with those things to use for him. And he wants us to be able to give those things away for the purpose that lives will be full formed. Lives will be fully formed. Lives will be fully changed and made new in Christ Jesus. That's worth investing in, isn't it? To invest in people's lives, giving what we have as God would have us to, is something that we want when we're involved, when we're doing the living nativity. We not only want the light of Christ and the gospel of Christ to go out, but we want people to be the seed to be planted. We want it to be watered. We want people to come to know the Lord. And we want Christians to be encouraged to stand that much more boldly for Christ. We want God to do his work through that ministry, not just put our work out there without any type of fruit. But it took time. It takes money. It takes energy. It takes hands on deck. It takes all these types of things to carry that out. Since God has given us so much, then what he does require of us to give is so little compared to what he's given us. Now, if you look in the framework of what we have here, this side of heaven, but if you look at the framework of what we have for eternity, what God has given us and what he expects of us is incomparable. Do you understand what I'm saying? God requires a little bit of us compared to all that he's given us. We can't measure that. And yet we should be saying, okay, there's a little bit here, which ironically includes giving. He wants us to give ourselves completely, 100% to him. But even giving ourselves 100% doesn't compare to what God has given to us. And so this passage is talking about the seed that was planted by the farmer, and the farmer wanting the fruit of his field. What farmer wants to plant and not have a good crop? Right? We saw that when we weren't getting water and their fields were turning to dust, right? And so we don't want that. But now I want to shift gears just a little bit, and that is that our wallets are like seed bags. Our wallets are like bags of seed. And when we plant the seed with a good heart, God promises that we will see a good harvest. When we give cheerfully, God always blesses that. When we give with the right heart, God will bless that. But it's so hard up here to communicate with you in a way that I feel like we're making that connection. And that is that when we realize the investment that we're putting into God's kingdom work, how rich that really is. I mean, I know some of you have invested in people's lives in other countries, supporting kids and encouraging them in depraved countries. There's so much that when God calls us to give, we're giving into his kingdom work that changes lives and affects eternity. That's worth investment. That's worth putting in. And so, let me put it in a different way. When we give financially and cheerfully to God, we will see him bless that for his glory and purpose. All the work that we've done, whether it be at the Living Nativity or anything that we've done over the years, VBS, whatever we've done, we always want him to be glorified. Last year, when we did VBS, what did we see? We saw 8 kids pray to receive Christ as their personal Savior. That's what we want to see. We want to see them grow in the Lord. We want to see them nurtured. We want to see them grow up to be mature, solid Christian people. That's part of the investment. It's worth that time, that money, that energy to put forth those things for the sake of God's kingdom work that doesn't just affect us here, but for all eternity. This, we already know this. As our church, or as a church, our harvest obviously isn't, you know, wheat or corn or watermelons or cantaloupe or all the things that we eat. But the harvest that we're looking at is people encountering God for the first time. It's hearts being changed for God. It's lives being changed and transformed for Him, to bring Him glory, to bring God glory. I mean, otherwise, we might as well hang it up. Why even be here? Whatever church we're in, wherever we're at as believers, if we're not focused on that kingdom work objective, then it's not worth it. So invest what God would have us to invest for the sake of His kingdom work that lasts eternity. So how do we have money to give? Here's a question. Because a lot of people say, I can't give, you know, very much. Or I can't tithe. Or I can't give offerings like I'd like to, so forth. How do we have money to give? A kind of a strange question. It comes by having a godly perspective. And this is where we come to the game that I was illustrating. Fill the sanctuary floor with money. Don't pick up money along the baseboards or any of the corners. Everything else, you can gather as much as you want until it's all gone. So how do we have money to give? It comes by having a godly perspective. Our perspective is like the farmer's. The farmer's perspective is that it's a financial view. And ours comes from a financial view. Let me restate that. Our perspective should be like a farmer's perspective. It comes from a financial view. I'll give you an example. Give God the corners, Leviticus 23:22. When you reap the harvest of your land, that's what God instructed the Israelites, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap, that means completely reap or completely gather, the corners of your field when you reap. Nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now you and I know that we can't go and just stop along the road and pick some tomatoes and pick some cantaloupe and get whatever's out there because it's against the law. But a godly perspective is that it's almost, it's the way I view that is Satan's trick. God says, leave the fields for gleaning for the poor and the needy. And the government says, or the law says, no, you can't do that. Right? For whatever reasons. But you and I have the privilege and the opportunity to leave room in our lives for others to glean from. And that's the corners. That's the barriers. It's not saying, if I was to say to you, take every last dollar bill or paper bill that you found on the floor, everything along the baseboards, everything in the corners, everything that's here, make sure it's all cleaned up for yourselves, then there would be none left in this building for God's work. And that's the point. This is the imagery that we're looking at here. He's saying, I want you to keep these borders. I want you to keep these edges and these corners open. Another way of stating it is this. In our lives, whether it be financially, whether no matter how God requires of us to give, make sure that we don't hold on to things too tightly. There's a quote, hold on to your possessions loosely. What am I really trying to say? What I'm saying here is that if we can learn to keep God's perspective based upon Leviticus 23:22 and say, look, whatever I have, whatever I make financially, whatever I have that I can give of myself, whether, again, my abilities or whatever, whatever I have, it's not all for me to wrap up and hold for myself tightly. God's saying, I want you to enjoy what I've given you, and the prosperity and the harvest that I've given you in your life, but I want you to make sure that you leave some loose for me. That's what God is saying. And the greatest privilege of this and the joy of that is knowing that what we leave loose for God to use is being used for something that affects all eternity. and brings glory to God. That should be a great joy. It should be a great joy that we can look at our lives and say, I've left this time for God. I've left this money for God. I've left these opportunities for God to use me. And it's leaving those areas for God's use. Still enjoying what God's given, but leaving those areas for God's use so that God will be glorified. That we're investing in his kingdom work. God doesn't want the farmer nor us to use all our money for ourselves. Right? They plant seeds to the right. They planted the seeds right to the edges and corners of the field, but they didn't harvest all of it. God's trying to teach us something, and we're going to wrap this up and close this way. Always leave space for God. Money, time, talent, ability. Always leave space for God. Those are your corners. Those are your edges. Don't use all your crop or your money for yourself. Leave the edges or reserve the four corners for him. That's a gift. There you can say, God, I'm leaving this for you. That's a gift and an investment. And this is where the real blessing is. Our tithes and offerings are giving seed for God to grow a crop. Right? If we're giving all that God requires of us, God is using that as a seed that produces a crop that affects lives and that glorifies him. It gives opportunities for God to bless us and his church. If we hold it all for ourselves, we do not receive the blessing that God has for us to receive. We're not used by God the way he wants us to be used. And so in this upcoming year, I want us just to remember that, you know, I'm probably speaking to the choir here. Most of you tithe and give offerings and give money. But I'm talking about your whole lives. Whatever God requires of you, give. Don't hold it so tight. Give. And allow yourselves to be that vessel in greater ways that God can use for his kingdom work. Look around. So how will God use us in this upcoming year? And praise him for it. Praise God that we have a year. Life is very fragile. Very, very fragile. And if he gives us that year and we're able to use it for him, what an honor, what a privilege, and truly what a joy it is to serve the Lord. Let's go to the Lord. Father, it's a very difficult thing to communicate these things. It seems so heavy-weighted when it should be something that really is a joyful thing. It's difficult, Father, to carry your word or to speak to people's hearts. And I, because of that, I know that that's not my job. My job is to present your word. It's your job to carry your word to the heart of each individual. For those of us here today that are generous and that are giving and every way that you call us to, I praise you for that. But Father, I know that as we walk with you, that we become looser with what you've given us. As we walk with you, that the border becomes wider, because we find such joy and blessing in being involved in your work, in your kingdom work, and investing in it. Because we see people whose lives are touched. We see people who are changed, like the man in the video, that all he thought about was suicide, and that nobody loved him, but found joy and a fullness of life, that you're using him as a witness. We want to see that. And I'm asking, Father, please, that this year, that you would give the increase. Not specifically financially, although that's important, but that you would give the increase in workers, that you would give the increase, Father, in talent, and give the increase in adding to this church and building this church back up, doing all the work that you want, providing what's needed, that we will be the church that you have proposed for us to be in greater depth, that you will be revealed, that your power will be seen, that your love will be known, and that your name will be glorified. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.